the 8th program of the 24th Annual Standard School Broadcast Course in Music Enjoyment. These musical portraits of famous Americans are presented transcribed by the Standard Oil Company of California, especially for you, our listening audience in the classrooms and homes throughout the Pacific West, Alaska, and Hawaii. Today, our musical portrait is that of America's first novelist, James Fenimore Cooper. This famous author was born in Burlington, New Jersey, on September 15, 1789. His father, William Cooper, was a man with great vision who foresaw the value of the land on the frontier. In 1785, William Cooper visited the wilderness called the Lake Country, and by 1786, he had purchased 40,000 acres and laid out the site for Cooperstown, which was also called Foot of the Lake, because it was situated on the south shore of Otsego Lake. Otsego, in the Red Man's language, means a place of friendly meeting. It was here in 1791, due to the first house built on Otsego's shore, that William Cooper brought his wife and his seven children. The youngest, James, was scarcely a year old. Here in the heart of the wilderness, face to face with the red man, the future creator of American fiction grew up. The six Indian nations were still powerful in the Mohawk Valley, and Jimmy Cooper, the boy, learned early of the red man and his ways, of the grim warriors, braves, and chieftains. And it was James Fenimore Cooper, the man, who made them live on the pages of his leather stocking tales. So today, to help us color the musical portrait of James Fenimore Cooper, we are going to use story, historical events, and music of the Revolutionary War period, of the sea, and of the North American Indian. We set our scene with music from Edward McDowell's Indian Suite, which echoes the spirit, the joys and sorrows of the first Americans. Listen now to this movement of McDowell's Indian Suite in wartime.
To recite for us.
I am, Master Corey. I am.
Fine. William Henderson, step forward, please. Now, Mr. Henderson, I believe you are asked to commit to memory the famous passage from William Shakespeare's play, As You Like It. You are prepared?
Yes, sir.
Begin, please.
Sweet are the uses of adversity, which, like the toad, ugly and
venomous.
Venomous. Wears a precious jewel in his head yet.
No, William. Wears yet a precious jewel in his head.
Oh, yes. Wears yet a precious jewel in his head.
And this our life exempt from public haunt.
Finds tongues in trees, books in running brooks, sermons in stones, and good in everything.
When I ask if someone is prepared with his recitation, William, I expect him to not have to be prompted. Tomorrow I shall expect you to be letter perfect. James Cooper. Next, please.
Yes, sir, Master Corey. What would you like me to recite?
The passage assigned you, of course.
I've forgotten which one it is. But I'll recite several, and when you come to the one you assigned me, why...
Cooper, perhaps you do have a memory for poetry, but you are far from a perfect student. This one small gift of memory does not make up for your dullness in spelling, writing, and ciphering. Your passage was to be a declamation by Davis Everett for a schoolboy of 7. Now, begin.
You'd scarce expect one of my age to speak in public on the stage, and if I chance to fall below Demosthenes or Cicero, don't view me with a critic's eye, but pass my imperfections by. Large streams from little fountains flow. Tall oaks from little acorns grow. These thoughts inspire my youthful mind to be the greatest of mankind. Great, not like Caesar, stained with blood, but only great as I am good. Now, let's go out and see what that is, Master Corey.
What is making that music, Master
We want to go hear it.
Yeah, we want to see it.
Come on, let's go.
Boys, please. Please. Boys, that is an organ.
What?
Mr. William Cooper had it brought here for the pleasure of the settlers. None of you has ever heard the like of it before. It is a remarkable instrument. Now, come, I'll give you half an hour's intermission. You'll all go into the music.
You know the name of the music, Mr.
Cooper? Yes, I do. It is Hey Columbia. The music was written by a Mr. Philip File, and the words by Joseph Hopkinson, whose father, Francis Hopkinson, was America's first recognized songwriter. It is probably the most popular song of our day. All ready, boys?
Yes, sir. Come on,
let's half hour.
Yes, sir.
Remember?
Yes, sir, we will.
Excuse.
Thank you,
Stevens, glad to see you. Go right on into the front parlor. Elizabeth's in there someplace.
Evening, Will. We came to the party.
Well, evening, Sam. Evening, Mrs. Purdy.
Looks like all the folks from the old settlement are gathering.
Yes, sir.
Anything special? Melvina said your missus mentioned something about an organ. Anything to it?
Yes, it's true, Sam. I brought an organ out from the east. Thought it might bring pleasure to the folks here at Cooperstown. Let's go in with the others.
Oh, must have cost a pretty penny to bring that contraption out here, didn't it, Will?
Yes, certainly did. But I think Elizabeth and the young people get enough pleasure out of it to make it well worth the trouble and the cost.
That's certain.
Okay, we're about ready to begin. Master Corey, the village schoolmaster, is going to call the dancers, so I've got to find myself a partner. Mrs. Purdy, may I have the pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. I'm pleased, I'm sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Cooper have asked us all in for an evening of music and refreshments. Now, if everybody has a partner, we'll begin with one of our frontier favorites. A quadrille. To the music of The Girl I Left Behind Me. Partners, everyone. Here we go. First couple lead, up to the right, balance there so kindly. Pass right through and balance through and swing the girl behind you. Take that lady and lead to the next, balance there so kindly. Pass right through and balance through and swing the girl behind you.
Say, James, why don't we go in and see what makes the organ work?
We better not. Children aren't supposed to bother the grown-ups when they're dancing.
Hey, your sister Hannah sure is pretty. I think she's the prettiest girl in the whole of Cooperstown.
Of course she's pretty.
I wish we had an organ like this one. Wish I had a pretty sister, too. Wish my father was rich like yours and belonged to the legislature and everything.
Oh, this isn't anything. Well, you see how rich I'm going to be. I'm going to be the richest man in the whole world.
How are you going to get rich?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll be a hunter or a pioneer like my father. Or maybe I'll go to sea and be a pirate. Or maybe I'll...
Oh, you can't be any of those things. You always talk real big, Jimmy Cooper. You always brag.
I do not.
You do, too, and you get mad every time you don't get your own way.
Well, you shouldn't say I can't do things. I don't like for anybody to say I can't do things.
Oh, come on, let's watch the dance.
Gentlemen, finally the ship is finished. I think a celebration is in order. You midshipmen have earned your right to a good time. I am proud of all of you. All of us have had the privilege of learning about shipbuilding and shipyard duties here at Oswego while building the brig Oneida. I must say a sweeter brig than our Oneida with her 16 guns has never been built or launched. And now, should the flurries of war with England, which have caused us to build up a heavy navy... Should a second war with England come about, we all, as naval officers, are well prepared to fight for our country. I pray that never happens. Oh, but this is not the time for serious war talk. This meeting is to give you last-minute instructions on your conduct as officers and gentlemen, and to make plans for a celebration ball. You know, we may find that building a brig hundreds of miles from a shipyard has proved to be a trifle as compared to giving a ball here in the wilderness...
We have one fiddle, and James Cooper may be persuaded to give us a flute solo.
We could decorate the mess hall and prepare refreshments.
But, gentlemen, where are the ladies to be found?
We can find the ladies, sir, but there's just one small matter that bothers me, Lieutenant Woolsey.
Now, what's that, Cooper?
Well, how are the ladies to be selected for their places in the Virginia reel?
That is a delicate point. Let me think. I have it, gentlemen. All ladies wearing shoes and stockings are to be led to the head of the Virginia reel. Ladies with shoes and without stockings are considered second in rank, and ladies without shoes or stockings will be taken to the foot of the country dance. Agreed?
Agreed.
Good, good. With our fiddle and flute, I'm sure we'll be able to provide lively dance music for our guests. Even here on the shores of Lake Ontario, people are familiar with our pioneer country dance, Weevily Wheat. Gentlemen, as soon as the ladies arrive, let us proceed with the grand military ball of Oswego. Now, ladies and gentlemen, while you get your second wind for the next country dance, I'll ask one of our midshipmen to entertain you. This young gentleman, though only 19, has spent 3 years at Yale University, sailed before the mast, has helped build a 16-gun Navy brig, and he plays the flute. Mr. Cooper, step forward, please. What are we to hear, Cooper?
Well, how would you like an Indian melody?
Indian? No, that isn't music to entertain ladies with.
Something we all know, not an Indian chant.
Oh, forget the Indians. Forget Cooperstown. You're in the Navy now, Cooper. Play us a sea shanty.
You and your Indian stories and your Indian music.
Gentlemen, please. Cooper may select whatever he wishes to play. Be grateful for the music, man.
I will play an Indian melody, or I will play nothing.
All right, have your own way, only play something.
I'll play a flute serenade from the Sioux tribe. And you can like it or not, as you choose.
You never know when Cooper's going to take offense to something. Hot-headed.
I suppose it wouldn't hurt us to hear these Indian melodies.
Wouldn't surprise me one bit if some American composer would make them into some real American music someday.
I doubt it.
Well, they're surely American. No, sir. It wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Azure blue.
Oh, what rot.
Surely you don't want me to read this trash to you, Susan. Reading the supposedly latest and most popular of novels to arrive by packet from London couldn't do anything but make your headache worse. I could write a better story than this thing.
That's saying quite a lot, Fenimore. That novel's one of the most popular books to come from England. I should like to see what kind of story you could write. You won't even write a letter, much less a book.
All the same, I could. Americans think just because something comes from Europe that makes it good.
Being a gentleman farmer has its advantages, Fenimore. You have plenty of time to ride. You've traveled. Before we were married, when you were still in the Navy, you had many wonderful experiences. Why not set them down on paper?
All right, I will. Better than that, I'll write a romance similar to this one I've been reading, and you'll see it'll be much better.
Well, dear, how is my author husband getting on with his work?
I'm discouraged, Susan. Maybe I should have stayed in the Navy or been a pioneer like my father. The English critics gave my first book a good review. Americans don't like it.
Maybe you should write a book for the Americans, dear. A book they would like.
That's just it, Susan. I don't think Americans know what they want.
Oh, now, Fenimore, that's rather a strong statement. You know what you want and what you like. Are others so different? Try writing a book about your adventures, your life at Cooperstown, about America. You'll find out whether or not the American people know what they want.
Well, Susan, perhaps I will. I've had in mind a book about the War for Independence. Maybe I'll try my hand at that.
I want a copy of that new adventure story, The Spy, by James Fenimore Cooper.
I'm sorry, madam, I haven't a copy left.
Not a one? Oh, how dreadful.
It's been an excellent seller, madam, especially after the fine reviews it got in Europe. Being translated into French, German, Spanish, Italian, Russian, Swedish, Danish, Dutch. Can't keep enough copies on hand.
Oh, now isn't that too bad? Well, I suppose I should have bought a copy when it was first printed. I understand from the critics that it's a story about the American Revolution. Oh, dear. What should I do now?
Well, madam, if you'll pardon me for saying so, I had plenty of copies when The Spy first came off the press. In fact, they were gathering dust, but just as soon as the favorable reviews came from London, then bang, there go the books. Seems like the American people don't know what they want. They have to wait and see if Europe's going to be favorably impressed with American literature first.
Well, I suppose you might say we are very dependent on Europe for all of our culture.
No need for it, madam. No need at all. Why, I've read The Spy, and I can truthfully say that this story about Westchester during the Revolution is American in every sense of the word, and it's good. Cooper makes his characters live. Why, before you're finished with The Spy, you know all about Harvey Birch the peddler, who is Washington's favorite spy. And you know all about Washington, too. It's just as if you had met the general in real life. You know his likes, his dislikes, his favorite pastime, his friends and his enemies. Why, you even know what music his Continental soldiers sang and marched to.
Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, ma'am. You were out shopping bright and early. I've scarcely had time to dust the bookshelves.
Yes, I know. But I read in the paper that James Fenimore Cooper has just published a new book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I enjoyed The Spy so much, after I finally got a copy of it, that I intend to get a copy of this latest book before you're all sold out. I hope you have a copy of the pilot for me.
Oh, yes, indeed, I do. I guess the American public isn't going to wait for Europe's reaction on Cooper's book this time. They're going to make up their minds themselves. About time, too, I'd say. Oh, here's your copy of Cooper's Story of the Sea.
Have you read it?
Oh, yes. It's all about John Paul Jones and the Revolutionary War. If you like adventure stories, you'll like the pilot.
Well, this time I've come on an errand for my husband. He learned that James Fenimore Cooper has written a history of the United States Navy.
Oh, yes. Quite a scholarly work, ma'am. I have a copy for you. $2.
Oh, fine. My husband got into some sort of argument with a friend over Cooper's treatment of the Battle of Lake Erie during the War of 1812.
Oh?
So he wants to read Cooper's book and see just what Cooper did write. What do you think of it?
Well, Cooper got his information from people who actually knew Commodore Perry, and the book has sold well. There are many officers who say they've enjoyed reading Cooper's account of those battles. Not only the battle on Lake Erie, but other famous sea engagements when our nation was struggling for recognition.
Oh? Then maybe Cooper made some mention of the Constitution and the Guerriere, which my husband says was one of the very first battles of the War of 1812.
Yes, it was. Took place just off the New England coast on August 9th, 1812. It was during that battle that the sailors renamed the Constitution Old Ironsides.
Oh? Why did they do that?
Well, when they saw the way the British shots from the frigate Guerriere bounced off the live oak sides of the Constitution, they just called her Old Ironsides.
Oh, my goodness. You're quite an authority on the War of 1812 yourself. I know about the Battle of Lake Erie, but I doubt that I've ever heard the whole account of the Battle of the Constitution and the Guerriere.
Oh, is that so? Well, it oft times has been told that the British seamen bold could flog the tars of France so neat and handy-o. But they never found their match till the Yankees did them catch. Oh, the Yankee boys for fighting are the dandy-o. The British shot flew hot, which the Yankee answered not.
till they got within the distance they called Handio.
Now says Hull unto his crew, boys, let's see what we can do if we take this boasting Briton where the dandy-o. The first broadside we poured carried her mainmast by the board, which made this lofty frigate look abandoned old. Then Dacres shook his head and to his officers said, Lord, I didn't think those Yankees were so handy, old. Our second told so well that their fore and mizzen fell, which doused the royal ensign neat and handy, old. By George, says he, were done, and they fired a lee gun, while the Yankees struck up Yankee Doodle Dandy, old.
So, with words and music from the old sea shanty, the Constitution and the Guerriere, we conclude today's musical portrait of James Fenimore Cooper. Cooper was an independent thinker, outspoken and belligerent. These faults brought him much criticism in later life, and he became extremely unpopular in America. Yet he did some of his very best writing during these bitter, trying years. Cooper wrote more than 30 novels, many travel books, and short articles. His adventure stories, the best of them, live today, not only in their native English, but in many other tongues, for Cooper certainly knew how to tell a story. If you read The Deerslayer, for instance, or The Pathfinder from his leather stocking tales, you might find them loosely connected, rambling, and drawn out. But did you know that Cooper was the first American ever to write a novel, and that he, with his writings about the frontier and the sea, both subjects on which he was well informed, opened the way for other great literary men who followed. So when you're enjoying a wonderful adventure story, Moby Dick, for instance, remember that Herman Melville was an author who profited by the pioneering of America's first novelist, James Fenimore Cooper. Next week, our musical portrait will be that of Lowell Mason, the father of public school music in America. So be sure to listen. The Standard School broadcast is transcribed in San Francisco by the Standard Oil Company of California for release in the seven western states, Alaska, and Hawaii. The orchestra is under the direction of Carmen Dragon, and John Galbraith was heard as James Fenimore Cooper. This is John Grover speaking.